From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
It is Code of Honor on the outside. Vino Rosso, dead game at the rail. These two will decide a thrilling Jockey Club Gold Cup, and it is very close. It looked like Vino Rosso has edged out Code of Honor on the wire.
And Beau Recall in the center of the course. Mirth by 2.5. Beau Recall on the outside of Elysia's World, but they're only battling for second as Mirth makes every pole a winning one in the Rodeo Drive.
From our Jimmy John's of Lexington studios, welcome to the Equine Forum, presented by Woodbine Entertainment and Red Brand Fence.
And these two lay it on the line with a 16th to go, a late on the inside, Midnight Bizu on the outside. They're coming to the wire. Who's it going to be? Oh, it's so close.
A furlong left to run in the Oaks. It's Chauncey and the hometown favorite Late Night Powwow running her down. Chauncey and Late Night Powwow slug it out. Here's Late Night Powwow alongside of Chauncey. Noses up and down. Late Night Powwow wins it for West Virginia.
Now, here's Mike Penna.
Good morning once again, everyone. Welcome to the Equine Forum, presented by Woodbine Entertainment and Red Brand Fence, right here on the Horse Racing Radio Network, October 19th, 2019, which means we continue to edge closer to the Breeders' Cup World Championships at Santa Anita Park in Arcadia, California, November 1st and 2nd, now just 13 days, 5 hours and 43 minutes away from racing's championship days. We will be there all week long. 1 week from this coming Tuesday is when we kick off our coverage, just about 15 hours of Breeders' Cup coverage here on the network. Make sure you head to horseracingradio.net to see a complete Breeders' Cup week schedule. Mike Penna, Baron of the Backstretch, alongside my man, the Big A, Anthony Stabile. He has made his way southward to Maryland. I have made the pilgrimage from Kentucky to Maryland, and we unite this morning at Maryland Farm here in the beautiful horse country. And let me tell you, when you drive into Maryland, this is the training division of Country Life Farm. This is simply spectacular. It is, Big A, this is horse heaven.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. It's amazing what a really good cinnamon crumb cake can get people to do.
Yeah, let's start there, right? Our thanks to Sally Ellen Hurst, who
she's
sets
the best.
Us up. She did this last year when we visited Country Life, and now she's done it again at Maryland, going above and beyond. She made an incredible pot of coffee. She doesn't drink coffee, so she followed the directions on the can.
Yes, sir.
And it came out perfectly.
There's a pot of high test on the on the percolator right now. I already got a nice little piece of the most amazing cinnamon crumb cake in the history of creation.
All that's left is a couple of crumbs.
All that's left, yes.
I'm surprised you left that.
And there's a fork. I'm missing a tine or two. Just driving here this morning from the hotel, Mike, like last year, a little bit of a different feel here. Last year we were on the porch, and you know, I remember Sally Ellen telling us a story about how Jim McKay, who the Maryland Million is named after, and deservedly so, Jack Whitaker, and all of the, I mean, not only names in horse racing, but just names, Americana, right? Sports legends, yep. Just were traipsing across that porch that we did the show from last year. And now here, a little bit of a different setting from the breeding farm to the training facility with Country Life and Maryland, and I mean, what a beautiful facility! Nice little, I think it's a half mile track out there, and
yeah, about roughly 100 acres out
yeah.
here. It was a good thing you were driving on the way over. I was in the passenger side because I couldn't stop looking for deer.
Yes,
everywhere I turned, I was looking for deer.
So there was going to be a drive-by shooting of a deer in Maryland at some point. This guy was, his head was on a complete swivel. I've never seen anything like it.
I'm still trying to get permission to deer hunt out here, but only with a bow. Not with a rifle out here.
Not with a rifle?
No. Too many beautiful horses walking around.
I hope one day I'm going to supply the deer in Kentucky with rifles and bows to just shoot back at you. And we're gonna start the revolution.
You and Colmus, he wants to do the same thing.
We spent a lot of time together. Yeah, he'd like nothing better than to see you just come completely under fire.
Well, we are here for a very special reason. You mentioned the 34th running of the Jim McKay Maryland Million.
Wow, 34 years. 34 I remember
years.
Being a kid and remembering the idea and just saying to myself, wow, that's a pretty neat idea.
Yeah, yeah. We'll make our way to Laurel, which is a little over an hour or so from here. We'll make our way to Laurel later this afternoon. Our coverage, 3:30 to 5:30 Eastern time. You're going to hear a few of those Maryland Million stakes, including the Classic, which is set to go probably right around that 5 o'clock mark, I would say. We're going to be right in that ballpark by the time we get to post time there. And that coverage presented by our friends at Country Life Farm and Red Brand Fence. SiriusXM 156 is where you can find the coverage beginning at 3:30 this afternoon.
Fight Nation, and it figures to be a battle on the storied grounds of Laurel Park. And Morning Bob, the defending champ, back to try to win the million for the second consecutive, the classic anyway, for the second consecutive year. You know, we were talking to Sally Ellen earlier today. You'll notice when you look at your PPs that some of the horses that maybe are a little bit more accomplished, Cord Maker, bonus points, a horse that's won this race in the past, they're on the also eligible list. They do a fantastic job really concentrating not only on the Maryland bred horses, but more importantly, the sired horses. They really like to support the state bred program here, and I think it's a phenomenal idea. So they give the full blown state breds, the horses that are sired by the Maryland sires, preference here. And you'll notice, you know, Curlin and Tapazar and Majestic Warrior, they're not Maryland sires, so those horses are on the outside looking in. If there's a scratch or two, some of them will get in, but I think it's they do a great job here in Maryland supporting their state bred program by giving a little bit of a little VIP treatment to the tried and true Maryland breds.
Well, this was the first state bred program that we saw in the sport of thoroughbred racing, and it's continued to grow and to evolve. And then, you know, we were talking about this before we came on air. It becomes, when you come here for this event, it becomes a celebration. It becomes a celebration of the horse. It becomes a celebration of the industry here in the state of Maryland. And we talk about this when we come to Preakness every year, that Maryland is a state with a wonderful horse racing tradition.
Yeah. A lot of guys and gals will tell you on the Triple Crown Trail that their favorite stop is Baltimore.
Mm-hmm.
And you would think that, you know, the Kentucky Derby being the Kentucky Derby in Louisville and my old Kentucky home and all the pageantry down there, and you get to come to Belmont Stakes. I mean, it's New York City.
Yeah.
but your favorite stop is when you come down here, it's the Middle Jewel. And yeah, the tradition and the appreciation, I think, is the best word for it, of our great sport is on display perhaps nowhere better than here in the great state of Maryland.
I am really looking forward to that classic later today. Saratoga Bob, who won it last year, back to defend his title in there. We'll see if he can pull it off. Bonus points, as you mentioned, he's on the also eligible list. He'll need to draw in later today if he can do it. Of course, he won the race in 2017. What a showdown that would be.
Yeah, absolutely. You have a horse like Cord Maker who's competitive in open company stakes, a winner of open company stakes. He's on the outside looking in right now. You got a horse here, too, and what's fun about this day, too, is it's not just a blue blood kind of day, right? You see the guys that and gals that support this program down here in Maryland all year long. A guy like Jamie Ness, who kind of played the claiming game with Torch of Truth and plucked him for $40,000 a couple of starts, three starts ago down at Delaware. I would assume with this race in mind, just saying to them, well, there's $150,000 waiting for me in 2 months. Let me take a horse that is a, you know, tried and true Maryland bred through and through. Let me try and get him to the winner's circle for the classic. And he played the claiming game nicely as he tries to win one of the most important races here in Maryland.
Well, you mentioned Blue Bloods. Let's not forget about our friends down at Keeneland and Lexington, because they'll host the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run, and our friends at the Lexus store of Lexington, the godfather Tony Attiano, and all the great people there have been supporting this race for a very, very long time. And look, when I do their commercial, I tell you that they want to be a part of the horse industry. They are an integral part of the horse industry through this sponsorship, through the fact that they have a Keeneland shop at the Lexus store of Lexington. You know, in this field today, 11 three-year-old fillies are scheduled to go to the post. I think we're going to be down to at least 10, because I read on Twitter last night that Ken McPeak will be scratching number 6, Restless Rider. He tweeted that out. Unfortunate, she will not go to the post. She was 4-1 on the morning line, and she figured to be one of the main contenders in there. She will not be in there. So, you know, it kind of opens the door for a couple of others.
Yeah, nice filly too, Restless Rider. Sad to see her forced out of this event today. They always do a good job with this. I mean, just last year, Shamrock Rose won this race. 2 weeks later, took the 65-mile ship west to Churchill Downs and beat the older fillies and mares in the Breeders' Cup Filly and Mare Sprint at a huge price. So I don't think we'll see that this year with a cross-country trip, the necessity to get to the Breeders' Cup just 2 weeks from now. But you have a filly in here who last year was the buzz at Saratoga. Her name is Indian Pride for Chad Brown. She did not make it to the races. She got hurt. She got to the races this year, and she lived up to the 13 months of billing. She won by over over a half dozen lengths, 8 lengths to be exact. She'll make her second start. This is not something this barn does. They don't take the fillies more often than not and throw them to the proverbial wolves. He did it earlier this year with Guarana. He ran her from a maiden race into the Grade 1 Acorn, and she rolled, beating the Kentucky Oaks winner in the process. He's doing it with this filly. Tell you what, Mike, at these sprint distances, I don't know how many fillies are faster than this one. I'm really looking forward to seeing Indian Pride in her stakes debut today.
Post time for the Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland, 5:30 Eastern time, so make sure you're locked into that one as well. Let's tell you what's coming up over the course of the next 2 hours. Then we'll throw out our question of the day, which you can weigh in on our Twitter feed, at HRRN. Mike Pons, the co-owner of Country Life Farm, along with his brother Josh. He's going to be with us after this first commercial break right around 8:15 Eastern. Trainer Brendan Walsh will be here to look ahead to the Breeders' Cup and his exciting two-year-olds, including Maxfield, who won the Claiborne Breeders' Futurity at Keeneland earlier this meet. We'll have our Industry Star of the Week segment presented by Stuart Morris. Trainer Phil Schoenthal is going to be with us right around 9 o'clock, and you won't want to miss this interview. A very emotional story about the horse Gifted Heart, who we'll see in the Maryland Million later today. Bobby Lillis is the Benevolence Director of the Maryland Thoroughbred Horsemen's Association. He'll join us at 9:20 Eastern to tell us about all the great things that he has been doing over the years to help backstretch workers and the backstretch program here at the racetracks in this great state of Maryland. So all of that coming up over the next 2 hours. Poll question, how about this? Since we are sitting here in Maryland, who is your favorite Maryland-bred horse of all time? Your favorite Maryland-bred horse of all time. We were talking about this coming in, Big A. You said it's easy, right, for you?
The unconquerable, invincible, unbeatable Cigar.
Yeah, well, it would be blasphemy sitting here at Maryland in Country Life if I told you really what I really thought of Cigar, because he beat Holy Bull, right? You would never hurt a Cigar if Holy Bull stayed healthy, right? Let's call a spade a spade.
I know. This is the most. This is one of the.
Might kick me out.
In a long line of inaccuracies that you've given me in my life, this is at the very top of the list, Mike.
There's a good chance I may actually get kicked out of Country Life in Maryland right now.
Look at that. Oh,
and there's the Cigar Halter, too. How awesome is that?
That's pretty good right there.
Yep. Cigar Fold at Country Life,
I was in the stall last year. I have a picture of myself in that foaling stall.
A great champion. Of course, I was a Holy Bull guy, but Cigar, a great champion. For me, by the way, my favorite Maryland bred concern, Breeders' Cup Classic.
He came to run your boy down in the 94 Travers, but Holy Bull held him off. There was cause for concern.
There was cause for concern, but Holy Bull, what a hero.
Yes, we were both huge Tom Durkin fans growing up.
If you couldn't tell. All right, so that's our poll question, at HRN on Twitter, Horse Racing Radio Network on Facebook. Who is your favorite Maryland-bred horse of all time? When we come back, well, we don't have to ask Mike Pons that question. I think he probably knows. This is the Equine Forum on HRRN, presented by Woodbine Entertainment and Red Brand Fence, manufacturing the V-Mesh and non-climb fence you see on horse farms worldwide.
Hello, I'm Eric Hamelback, CEO of the National HBPA. Thoroughbred owners and trainers know the importance of keeping their horse on schedule, on the track, and injury-free. Even a small injury can result in losing precious time and serious money. That's why farms worldwide trust Keep Safe V-Mesh Fence from Red Brand. The strong mesh design flexes on impact and reduces injuries, keeping your athletes on schedule and on the track. Learn more about Keep Safe V-Mesh Horse Fence at redbrand.com.
World Class Racing is back at Santa Anita, and with the Breeders' Cup World Championships coming for a record 10th time on November 1st and 2nd, you want to be sure to be a part of it. Please visit santaanita.com to purchase tickets and make reservations for the biggest 2 days in racing. Join us this Saturday. Our main event is the $100,000 California Flag Handicap. First post time on Saturday and Sunday is at 12:30 p.m. Santa Anita, transforming tradition.
When it's time to paint the fences and barns, think Farm Paint. At Farm Paint, you get the industry's best coatings and paints factory direct at low, low prices. Farm Paint is your source for quality paints, roof coatings, dustless arena footings, and more. You can purchase online or drop into a Farm Paint store near you with locations in Heart of Bluegrass Country at 700 Phillips Lane in Lexington, Kentucky, Columbus, Ohio, and Sandusky, Ohio. Buy factory direct and save at farmpaint.com. That's farmpaint.com.
Bill Reitler Bloodstock, the source for top quality thoroughbred horses in the Mid-Atlantic region and a perennial leading consigner at the Maryland Sales. Come visit his impressive 47-head consignment at the Fasig Tipton Mid-Atlantic December Mix Sale, December 10th at the Maryland State Fairgrounds. The consignment includes the talented filly Brucia Laterra as a racing and broodmare prospect. Brucia Laterra finished second behind champion Jaywalk in the Grade 1 Frisette ahead of Kofefi. Be sure to stop by the Bill Reitler Bloodstock consignment at the Fasig Tipton Mid-Atlantic December Mix Sale.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
The Maryland thoroughbred industry, for over 200 years, the innovative leader. Maryland was the first to have organized racing in North America and the first to establish a state breeders association. Maryland created the first thoroughbred yearling show, the first state magazine, the first state breeder incentive development program, the first international race to feature horses from four continents, and the first $1 million one-day stallion stakes event. The Maryland thoroughbred industry is the innovative leader.
Maximus Mischief, the fastest two-year-old ever by leading sire into mischief.
Maximus Mischief running away at the end in an impressive debut.
The fastest Remsen winner in recent years.
And it's Maximus Mischief proving he's the real deal.
And with a 98 buyer speed figure, the fastest two-year-old of 2018.
Maximus Mischief, one small step closer to Louisville.
Max speed, max strength, max power. Maximus Mischief, standing new at Spendthrift.
This is Bruce Brown, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by Woodbine Entertainment and Red Brand Fence.
And Bronc Sandman is your trailer about 6 lengths off that leader, which is still Call Paul with 3/8 to go. Three's Over Deuces now takes up the chase. Wind Placer Show, oh no, is dropped back in third. And Bronc Sandman is the trailer. Right now we're down to two, it appears, as they head for home. Half 45 and one. And Call Paul now extends the margin to 2.5 lengths. Three's Over Deuces is gamely trying to cut that margin. Wind Placer Show, oh no, is racing third. With the 16th to go, it's Call Paul now drawing away. Call Paul and Angel Suarez will take the Newcastle. Wins it by about three. Three's Over Deuces a good second. Wind Placer Show, oh no, got third over Bronc Sandman.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum. Mike Penna, Anthony Stabile, live from Maryland Farm, the training division of Country Life Farm here in Maryland. And Call Paul, a huge win in the Newcastle at Delaware last time out. He won by three, took the field wire to wire. He is a heavy favorite, 9-5 on the morning line in this afternoon's Maryland Million Sprint. And he's a son of Country Life stallion Frisian Fire, who has just been, well, he's been on fire. And we're going to tell you more about him coming up in just a second with co-owner Mike Pons. He is the co-owner of Country Life Farm along with his brother Josh. We'll get to Mike momentarily right after this word for our good friend Bill Reitler and Bill Reitler Bloodstock. Remember, Bill Reitler Bloodstock is the source for high-quality thoroughbred horses in the Mid-Atlantic region. He's a perennial leading sales consigner at the Fasig Tipton Maryland Sales, and he's offering 47 head in the upcoming Fasig Tipton Mid-Atlantic December Mix Sale on December 10th at the Maryland State Fairgrounds. Offered in the sale are weanlings, bi, and broodmares in full to Country Life Farm stallions Divining Rod, Frisian Fire, Mosler, and Freedom Child, and of course the talented filly Brucia Laterra, who will be offered as a racing and broodmare prospect. Brucia Laterra finished second behind champion Jaywalk in the Grade 1 Frisette ahead of Kofefi. Yeah, she's a good offering there by Bill Reitler. Be sure to stop by the Bill Reitler Bloodstock consignment at this upcoming Fasig Tipton Mid-Atlantic December Mix Sale. Well, Mike, first of all, thanks for being with us. And again, it's not a show here in Maryland without you joining us. You've been doing this for a very long time. And Country Life, the presenting sponsor of our coverage coming up this afternoon at 3:30 Eastern. Really wonderful to be back here. Thank you for everything.
Oh, it's great. It's always good to see you guys. You're like the swallows of Capistrano. You come back every spring or fall, so it's fun. I set my watch by you.
You know, I when I texted you to ask you to join us, I remember you telling me how you always used to bat leadoff at the top of the order. So we figured, why not kick off the show with our good friend Mike Pons?
Amen. Second pitch, I'm going for second. Yeah. Once you get to first.
This is a heck of a 1-2 punch you guys have down here. You have everything, all the breeding stuff, the breeding operation over a Country Life, and then the training facility here. The ride up here this morning was majestic, beautiful. The property here, 100 acres or so. Facility second to none up here.
Well, it's fun. You know, Maryland, we've had good horses here for, not forever, but for an awful long time. You know, more than four centuries of breeding and racing horses here in Maryland, and we're just trying to grab the baton and go, you know, do our stint. And it's fun. A lot of good horses. Silent Screen trained here. You know, champion 2-year-old of 69, Process Shot, who was a champion in 66. You know, so the trend was set long time ago. This has been a training center since the 1930s. And
wow.
When Josh and I strategically were looking to add, you know, more land, and what do? And we tried to buy this place three times. We're always the bridesmaids, and then it finally happened. So it's been a lot of fun, almost 20 years now. And, you know, to watch them from conception to foaling to raising them and then training them, and then some of them come all the way back again. It's a magical thing. It's like running some, you know, boarding school, and here they come back, you know. So it's a lot of fun. And I think just a matter of time before we start clicking. Some of the young stallions, Mosler is going to be a rock star. You know, write it down. He's got first crop yearlings, about 75 of them. He bred 102 mares his first year at stud. And
wow.
We'll go to farms to look at them, and they'll be 100 yards away. And there's one there. There's another one. They're stamped.
They're stamped.
Yeah.
And they have his wonderful color and physical type, but he has this beautiful heart-shaped blaze, and you'll see that on a bunch of the babies too. So anyway, they're walking like ducks and quacking like them. I hope they run like fly like them, whatever, you know.
How do you keep this rolling year in and year out, Mike? I mean, they say, is it harder to get to the top of the mountain or stay there? And you have gotten there with Country Life, you and your brother Josh, and now you're able to stay there year in and year out. How do you do it?
It's our help. We have the best help, I think, of anybody, certainly in this side of the country. And I'd put them up with anybody. I mean, I don't think pound for pound you find a harder working, more ambitious, you know, interesting, innovative crew than we've got. Because on a small farm, the horses are just this much of it.
Yeah.
There's so much is the maintenance and the presentation of the whole farm. And, you know, we have a lot of show and tell with the horses. You know, I've got 10 people that own a broodmare. Any one of them may come out anytime they like to see them, you know, during business hours, and you got to be ready, you know, and all this on top of everything else where a lot of the Kentucky farms are pretty much private, really.
Yeah.
So I have a different skill demand and set for my employees, but God bless them. I mean, they do so many creative things, and it's fun just to get out of their way. And then Josh and I would be like, you know, making it rain, and they make it happen. So it's a wonderful partnership.
Sally Ellen just handed me a sheet of 13 names that have direct connection to Country Life and Maryland Farm on that Jim McKay Maryland Million card today. Got to make you proud to see something like this led by, we just heard Carl Paul's a multiple open stakes winner, yeah. Graded stakes winner up at Saratoga last year. It's got to really make you proud of what you've accomplished here already.
Oh, it's fun. And, you know, breeding horses is like making wine. If you're standing stallions, it takes you so long to, you know, have one come out of the bottle everybody
sure.
likes.
It's a and great it sure analogy. Is,
it's great when it works. And it's, I won't call them failures, but the unsuccessful tries, what teaches you a lot of things about so many things. It took us 5 years to win a Maryland Million race. We just didn't have the stock, and we tried and tried and tried. Then when it happened, Alan's prospect, my Mr. Prospector's son that raced for Alan Pulse, it named him for himself. You know, Alan's Derby Prospect is really where the name came from. It was fun because he had a filly win the Lassie and a colt win the nursery, and we never looked back. But it took us so long to get there, and once that happened, it was full speed ahead. So that was pretty cool because that was, you know, my buddies at Ocala Stud in the old days when something really good would happen, a Florida bred of theirs would win a stake, they'd ring the bell, the old bell that was on the battleship that Joe O'Farrell was on. And those kind of things ring true today. You know, there's a wonderful pride that you have. You know, it's like one of the kids won a, you know, Little League World Series or something. So it's fun, and we gear for that. Maryland Million's a day we point for. the day after it happens, almost like Christmas around here.
Yeah, it's a big deal. Talking with Mike Pons, co-owner of Country Life Farm, we are positioned at Maryland Farm, which is the training division of Country Life. You heard Mike reference the fact that it's been nearly 20 years that they've been training horses out here. Mike, tell me a little bit about the partnerships that you put together.
Well, it's fun. We're so grateful to live in, you know, one of the best country on earth, really. But this region of the country is very wealthy. And there's a tradition of horses in Maryland, Virginia, Pennsylvania, New York, that's unlike other parts of the country. And nowadays, you know, it's very expensive having a mare all by yourself and breeding her and doing all that. I mean, you're talking 10, 15, 20 grand a year minimum. So why not split it up between the partners? And, you know, in the old days, my dad had four or five clients that were all captains of industry, and they'd fill the whole farm up. Now I got, you know, 10 people with one mare and this and that. But it's really fun. Tomorrow we'll have a celebration for that. We have our annual Autumn Day in the Country Party, and we'll have 100 folks out here and crab soup and apple cider, and there'll be pony rides, and we'll bring the horses and show them and have pictures and just a fun kind of thank you day. But it's also a day we'll bring newcomers out, and they go, what are you guys doing? You know, and it's almost like a club, and they come and they participate, and the food's good, the place is clean, and the gals like it. You know, I might get a sale. And it's really fun because racing is a participatory sport, and you'll watch the Matt Sheras and these guys, and they'll bring their families all to the races.
Yeah.
And they have lights out, a great time. And that's what I'm trying to do with these partnerships. And it's really fun. We got 70 guests at Maryland Million today, and many of them are bringing kids and spouses and friends and whatever, and because that's what this game's all about.
Yeah, it's turned into – you guys have done a good job not only keeping the tradition of the sport, but it's turned into an experience. And George Bush came over this morning, not – that one or the other one. George Bush came over this morning. I remember meeting George last year. Be a neat trick for the old man if he was here this morning.
Yeah.
Came over and reintroduced himself, and I remember seeing him both at Country Life and at the VIP tent last year. So you guys do a good job at being hospitable to the partners, and the game is really turned. I do a lot of charity stuff for the Belmont Child Care Association. We honored Saul Kuhlman this year, and he's done the same thing. It's a family for it. Brings his family to the track. He brings friends. They bring friends, and all of a sudden, you're cultivating new owners and new fans of the sport.
That's how we all really got interested, right, when you think about
Everybody
it.
Everybody starts as a fan.
Yeah.
That's how it works.
Yeah. Well, you think about it, and when we'll talk to folks, oh, my grandfather used to bring me to the races, or my uncle, you know, like Bobby Flay saying, you know, grandfather look in the sky and see a cloud anywhere. Oh, I can't cut the yard today. Let's go to the park. Belmont Park.
Yeah.
You know, but it's fun. And, you know, it's that way in baseball, too. You know, I went with Dad to the Oriole games or whatever it was. But racing is so many different things. I mean, there's history. There's the athleticism of the horse and the riders. There's the paramutual. I've never gone to a baseball game and come home with more money than I left with. God bless them.
Yeah.
You know, I'm dropping my money and leaving. And the other thing, you know, I go to the Ravens games. I love the Ravens, and buddies of mine have tailgates, and we all go. But, boy, I get to the game. I go to my seat, go to the bathroom, get something to eat, go back to my seat. Racing. You go down to the paddock. You know, we may have slipped out of the racing secretary's office. We can go back in the barns. Heck, I can talk to the stewards, the jockeys if I want to. I get to bet on it and see it all. And we're in the middle of it. It's not just two dimensions. It's three or four dimensions. And it spoiled me for anything, all the other sports now.
Mike, you know, he just said Ravens,
he
right?
was doing so well, so he brought up the Ravens. Mike, it's been a pleasure. Time to let you go, my friend. Thanks for having us.
Great.
That's all right. I already told him that cigar was not my favorite Maryland.
We'll be doing the rest of the show from my rental on the way out of Atlanta Maryland Farm this morning.
Whatever.
Mike, we do have to get to our next segment, our Lexus Legends of the Turf segment. But really, thank you so much for all your support. It's wonderful to have you on board. I'll look forward to seeing you when we come back up for Preakness in May. And thanks for everything. And enjoy the races later.
Amen.
Today. Yeah.
Hope you better winner.
Good luck today.
Thank you. We're going to need it.
Yeah, good luck. That's Mike Pons, co-owner of Country Life Farm here in Maryland. What a job they do. And you can head over to countrylifefarm.com to learn more about their stallions, their training program, and the partnerships that they put together. It is indeed time for our Lexus Legends of the Turf, brought to you every Saturday at this time by the Lexus store of Lexington. After this, our good friend Brendan Walsh will join us to talk about a couple of exciting two-year-olds making their way to the Breeders' Cup. This is your Lexus Legends of the Turf.
Saturday, March 12, 1966, marked the end of an era in thoroughbred racing. It was Act 3, Scene 3 for a jockey who went out the way it was meant to be, a winner. That day was, without a scintilla of doubt, the singular most moving, dramatic day in the long and most illustrious history of Fable Santa Anita Park. Indeed, there was more feeling and emotion than you could cut with the proverbial fork. Yes, more than on March 4th, 1940, when Pappy, the great old C.S. Howard campaigner Seabiscuit, managed to score a victory in the Santa Anita Handicap on what amounted to three legs and a veritable mountain of courage after coming out of retirement. And yes, more feeling than when Citation, thwarted first by injuries and then by his brilliant adversary Noor, in his indomitable quest to become racing's very first million-dollar earner, finally made it on a golden California afternoon in July of 1951 at Hollywood Park. Because, you see, on this particular day, the final paragraph was written to an unbelievable storybook ending of the single most extraordinary saga of a jockey in all of racing's legend, lore, and mystique-filled history. On this day, that paragraph was written in capital letters and finished with an exclamation point. The gentleman who's the subject of this story was born in England, came to the racetrack out of a Canadian coal mine. Compositely, his career included 32,500 mounts, 6,032 winners, and a legacy among racing aficionados that lives to this day. In his final race, he was aboard George Royal, a Canadian bred at that, in a final twist of irony, and he won the San Juan Capistrano Handicap, with a ride that was a trademark of his uncanny talent and had stamped him as the riding great for most of the four decades as a saddlesmith. His final day in the iron, so to speak, was announced with dramatic suddenness. It was totally unexpected and was, in no small measure, responsible for Santa Anita's largest crowd of the season, 60,000-plus. George Royal, our subject's mount, had won the Capistrano the year before, but had gone unplaced in four starts during the 1966 campaign and was listed at nearly 7-1 with betting public at post time. This in spite of the sentimental attachment to the subject of this dissertation who was in the saddle. Most of those in the vast assemblage on hand felt this rider had chucked up his final victory when he booted home a horse named Chiclero in the fourth race on that day's card. And that victory had been scored in rather typical fashion for this little reinsman on the Bill Daly and then nursing his mount home to the wire. The camera and newsman duly recorded that bit of history, which, as it turned out, was not nearly of historic import it appeared to have been at the time. In the Capistrano, something warm and gentle and dramatic of the ilk of the Frank Capra classics of the cinema was about to unfold. As our man got a leg up in the paddock, the enormous throng cheered long and loud, and many openly wept for the little man who had provided countless thrills for the racing public all over the country. The little man bit his lip to keep from showing the tears welling in his eyes. The display of heartfelt adulation literally unbounded and heretofore unseen and unheard at a racetrack. While the race itself, Bobby Ussery took Plaque to the front to set the early fractions and was still in the lead and drawing away from his nearest rival, Polar C. But now Hillrise, who was the post-time favorite, and George Royal both commenced to move together from off the pace. Hillrise could not stay with George Royal's strong move, and as George Royal moved boldly toward the front runners in the brightly glistening late afternoon California sun, track announcer Joe Hernandez got the crowd cheering and screaming like a clap of thunder with the dramatic unfolding of the race to the wire. George Royal was fourth, third, second, with only Plaque to catch in the drive to the wire. With less than a furlong to run, George Royal came abreast of Plaque, and those two raced right together, matching strides in a heart-pounding display of thoroughbred racing. In the very final jump, our subject was able to get his horse up to stick his nose in front of the wire, and a finish that left a huge throng absolutely agog. Our man came back to the winner's circle for the last time, dismounted, got on the scale and began that long, last walk back to the jockey's quarters, midst both tears and cheers of adulation for a true champion. He'd gone out the way the script should have been written, a winner. That man and the story of that race were the stuff of which Shakespeare's dreams are made. He was Johnny Longden.
Visionary design, visceral performance, and imaginary technology. That's Lexus. When every detail, every moment, and every emotion is crafted by Lexus, it leads to amazing. Experience artistry that inspires, design that compels, and engineering that excites. This is Mike Penna, and I can tell you personally, as a Lexus owner, the enjoyment you'll experience from driving any of the Lexus model lines is unparalleled. Visit the Lexus store of Lexington today and see what I've been talking about for nearly 15 years. The people truly make the difference. Lexus has also been a longtime supporter of the horse industry, with a Keeneland shop located at the Lexus store of Lexington and through their sponsorship of Keeneland's Lexus Raven Run Stakes each fall. And remember, when you go to the Lexus store, ask for the Godfather, Tony Attiano. Talk horses and experience amazing in your brand new Lexus.
Bloom Racing. Started by former jockey and 35-year racing industry veteran Jeffrey Bloom, Bloom Racing offers racing partnerships, bloodstock services, pinhooking, and private race management.
Pulling away from Come Dancing, Mopetism, and the others, Midnight Bizou leaves no doubt today. She won the Phipps in hand.
Experience the fun, excitement, and exclusive access of racehorse ownership with Bloom Racing. Forming racing partnerships now, get in on the action at bloomracing.com.
The Ponds family's Country Life Farm is proud to celebrate over 85 years in the thoroughbred business. Established in 1933, Country Life is nationally recognized for making such stallions as Malibu Moon and Grade 1 sire Frisian Fire. Our beautiful training center at Maryland Farm allows us to offer a full service operation, from the foaling barn to the racetrack, and our popular racing and breeding partnerships bring new faces to this exciting sport. Come join us. Get in the game with Country Life Farm. Visit us online at countrylifefarm.com.
Experience the thrill of pulse-pounding thoroughbred racing at the Maryland Jockey Club at Laurel Park. Step outside to a front-row seat for world-class racing or enjoy the view from towering windows in a gorgeous space. What better way to spend an afternoon than with friends, a craft beer, local cuisine, and a winning ticket? Play it safe on a favorite or take a chance on a long shot. Odds are, you'll have a fabulous time. Live racing, Friday through Sunday. Post time, 1:10 p.m.
I'm visiting with Joe Brown Nicholson of Nicholson Insurance Agency. Joe, how are things in the insurance world?
Things are just fine in the insurance business, Mike. I'm grateful for the people who place their trust in Nicholson Insurance Agency to protect their homes, autos, farms, and horses against financial loss. As you know, we represent many insurance companies, so we can choose just the right company for each client at the right price. We welcome each opportunity to provide quality service to our clients.
So having many companies seems important.
Absolutely. Just like in thoroughbred racing and breeding, competition also works for the betterment of the insurance industry. I am constantly impressed with the ways companies respond to consumer demands with new insurance products and services.
Thanks, Joe. For your equine and general insurance needs, call Nicholson Insurance Agency at 859-224-7080 or visit us on Facebook. You gotta know Joe.
This is Joe Rocco Jr.
I'm John Velasquez.
My name is Victor Espinosa.
This is jockey Brian Hernandez, and you're listening to HRRN.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by Woodbine Entertainment and Red Brand Fence.
And Gouverneur Morris now moving up on the outside from fourth to third to second by a head. And now alongside the leader, Gouverneur Morris, Enforceable and Maxfield both moving behind that one at the quarter pole. Gouverneur Morris has taken the lead from American Butterfly. Here's Maxfield moving up on the outside to challenge Gouverneur Morris off the far turn. And Maxfield strides forward and takes the lead by a length and a half. Two lengths in the final furlong. Gouverneur Morris second, Enforceable third. The rest are far back. Maxfield, a breathtaking run at the top of the stretch. Kicks clear by six. Maxfield to win the Claiborne Breeders' Futurity for Jose Ortiz.
Yeah, the voice of Keeneland, Kurt Becker, with the call of the Claiborne Breeders' Futurity. Maxfield getting the victory for trainer Brendan Walsh, who will be our guest coming up in just a couple of minutes. We are efforting Brendan, as they say in the game. Busy morning for him, no doubt, as he prepares Maxfield. And he's got another two-year-old, too. That's pretty good.
Yeah, he's got Vitology. Yeah. He was fourth in the summer at Woodbine and second in the Dixiana Bourbon back on Judmont Spinster Day, with a breathtaking run to almost get the money after being last at the 5/16th pole. So Yeah, a couple of big closing performances from the Wall Street Olds on Fall Stars weekend.
That was Brendan's first U.S. Grade 1 victory, and he's one of the bright stars in our sport today. You're going to hear more from Brendan Walsh, and you'll hear more from him in just a couple of minutes, assuming that we can get in touch with him as he is training horses at Keeneland, no doubt. This is a busy time for trainers, but we'll try to get Brendan on the phone here in a second. Maxfield, not the only horse making their way to the Breeders' Cup. You also have Mitoli, and speaking of Mitoli, you have to talk about small batch sales. And now you wonder why I say that. Well, because Mitoli, they will be offering, small batch sales will be offering his half-brother to Mitoli. He's, of course, a multiple grade one winner, is the outstanding sprinter. And they'll be doing that at the Fasig Tipton October sale. They have five lots. And it, look, when you talk about small batch sales, they have been showing positive results from a curated approach. And the past graduates include recent Grade 2 winner King Jack and stakes winner Moonlight Romance, along with Cheekaboo, the sale topper at the Fasig Tipton February sale. And now, of course, the half-brother to multiple Grade 1 winner Mitoli, part of a five-lot consignment at the Fasig Tipton October sale. Small batch sales has achieved, how about this, a 95% conversion rate at the 2019 Keeneland September yearling sale. Think about that, with 19 out of the 20 lots being sold. That's impressive. So make sure you head over there, see the small batch sales consignment. Check out the half-brother to Mitoli when you head out to the Fasig Tipton October sale. And if you want to learn more, just go to smallbatchsales.com. They do a really good job over there.
That King Jack was really impressive winning the Gallant Bob down on Pennsylvania Derby Day at Parks. He may have been more impressive than the PA Derby winner, Math Wizard. Yeah. It was a big, big effort out of that horse.
Yeah, he's a good horse, really good horse. Poll question today, as we await Brendan, we'll go ahead and update you on the poll question. You can still weigh in all morning long at HRRN on Twitter, Horse Racing Radio Network on Facebook. We asked you, considering the fact that we are in Maryland today, getting ready to broadcast the Maryland Million at Laurel later this afternoon, who is your favorite Maryland-bred horse of all time? And no doubt, Cigar getting a lot of votes. Female, Catherine Sophia, getting a vote there. This is a cool one from, let's see, who tweeted this to us? At Equine, let's see, Equine LTDN, there you go. Cigar is the reason that I do what I do, or is it Magic Wiesner, or is it Oliver's Twist? Well, I'll go with Cigar. I like that. It's a great. Cowboy King. There's another one for you.
That was Maggie Kimmett, right?
I like that. The Big Beast.
The Big Beast. Especially, yeah, that's our friend Bill Mentis up in Vermont.
If I asked trainer Brendan Walsh who his favorite two-year-old is right now, what answer do you think I'm going to get?
Oh, I think you're going to get Maxwell.
Well, let's ask him. Brendan is with us now. Brendan, who's your favorite two-year-old?
Good morning, guys. I guess you guessed right.
Oh, come on! Looking, playing it right down the middle.
I'm not going to be original and pick something else. I guess I got to go with Maxfield right now.
Well, you should. What a performance that was in the Breeders' Futurity on opening weekend at Keeneland. Look back on that race, Brendan. When you think back to it, we just played the stretch call from Kurt Becker. What do you remember about that performance?
You know, it was just fantastic. I mean, it was a great, from a trainer's point of view, to watch. It was great because, you know, he made that move and I looked around to see who was going to be the threat, and he looked like he had them all covered, and then when he just shot by everybody, it was a very enjoyable last eighth of a mile, I'll put it to you that way. So yeah, no, it was fantastic. It was a great run, and you know, he lived up to what he had threatened to do, and you know, we were all delighted with it.
Brendan, I remember watching the Claiborne Breeders' Futurity and seeing him launch his bid right around the half mile pole, and he passed almost the entire field to get the money that afternoon. Talk about that a little bit. We don't ordinarily see horses in just their second start, first around two turns, launch a bid at the half-mile pole. And like you said, a really enjoyable eighth of a mile. He ran through the wire, having run for most of the race. Talk a little bit about how fit he was and how conditioned he was to be able to make such a spectacular, sustained run.
I think he's just very, he's got a lot of natural talent. guys. You know, I mean, to do what he did even the day he broke his maiden was pretty impressive. You know, that day, yeah, I mean, you know, we thought he was in with a good shot to win the race, but, you know, I didn't expect it to be that spectacular, we'll say. You know, he seems like he gets into that high cruising speed and he finds a couple more gears. But, he at home, we thought he was very talented. Even watching him work yesterday, he worked really well. But he seems to save a little bit more for the racetrack as well, I think. And, obviously we don't ask him to do what he did on Futurity Day in the mornings as well. You know, he does plenty anyway, but I just think he's got a lot of natural talent, and I think that's where it comes from. He's just a very, very talented horse.
Brendan, when did you first get a sense that he could be this good?
We thought he was very good from the day he walked into the barn. We've always loved him. He's a lovely horse, you know, big shell of a horse. He's still not anywhere near where he's going to be in 6 months' time. In fact, you know, we had him almost ready to run in July, and we decided we'd just back off of him for 3 or 4 weeks, because I was looking at him one day and I thought, this horse doesn't need to, he doesn't need to be on a racetrack in July. First of September is going to be plenty time for a horse of his stature to run first time out, but his work has always been very good. You know, he's never had a bad day. He's never been outworked by anybody, you know. But we're always fairly conservative about our works. But he did do a couple of works. I think his second gate work was very good at Keeneland, and that's when I thought we might have a. I remember Jimmy Bell was there, and we turned around it when he went by us, and we thought we might have a good one here. But even the day he ran in his maiden, you know, I didn't expect him to win. It didn't surprise me, but I didn't expect him. I told Jose just to let him leave the gate, you know, if he came out of there quick, then go on with it. If he didn't, the one thing I said to him was just don't force him, you know, let him take you into the race and let him learn, and he did. And, you know, he kind of did the same type of race in the Futurity. I thought he might. I think as time goes along, I think he'll get a little more efficient from the gate. I think he's such a big horse. I think he breaks fine, but, you know, I think the initial 2-3 strides, it just takes him a second to get going. But I think as time goes along, he'll get better from the gate, and it might make things a little easier on him.
Brendan, that was your very first Grade 1 victory here in the United States, so I know that had to be very special for you. Talk about what that means for a trainer to break through for the first time in a Grade 1 race.
It was great, you know. I mean, I've had some nice horses the last few years, you know, the likes of Proctor's Ledge and Honorable Duty and horses like that who had knocked on the door in Grade 1s. You know, they were second in them, and a few other horses that for injury reasons or whatever else were capable of winning a Grade 1. So, you know, I'm not training that long, but on the same hand, it was starting to be like, oh God, what do I need to do to get one of these? But it just goes to show, you know, the what goes into winning a Grade 1 and how good a horse has to be and all the how everything has to go right to actually win a Grade 1. I mean, it is a real they're just super tough to win any kind of Grade 1. People go, oh, it was a soft Grade 1. There's no such thing as a soft Grade 1. So it just goes to show what has to go into it and how good a horse you need to win it. But to finally get it was fantastic, you know. And it was a relief, and it was great. It was great to win it for Godolphin, for people who have had a lot to do with my career back the years. So, you know, it was really, really was a kind of a fairy tale thing, you know.
As remarkable, Brendan, as the move Maxfield made to get the money in the Breeders' Futurity, Vitology the very next day on Sunday in that Dixiana Bourbon, I mean, 5/16 pole, he's last. You fall. I think the official margin was a neck short of getting him that win, and you're in for the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf. talk about him. What a fantastic effort he put in.
Yeah, no, he ran super. You know, we thought, I mean, you know, how often do you see anybody win from the 14 draw around two turns on turf at Keeneland? It's very rare. So we were on the back foot from the get-go. And, you know, he was coming back in 3 weeks after traveling. You know, he was like Phileas Fogg. He'd been through every city in the world to get over here. And then we brought him down from Woodbine, and he got to me at Churchill. And you know, it took him a good 10 days to get over all of that and get over the race. But, you know, we worked him at Keeneland a week out, and that seemed to switch a light on with him. And then he just did good every day coming up to it. And I thought he was going to run a big race. And, you know, Javier gave him a great ride from a tough draw, and he just missed. But thankfully, you know, the objective of the whole thing was to get him to the Breeders' Cup. So thankfully, I believe we're going to get in there. And, you know, hopefully we get a good draw next time. I think the California race should set up perfectly for him. I think he loved the ground out there. And, you know, we should get a good pace in front of him. And you know, we've got a bit more time to get to know him. And I think he'll, you know, if we get out there healthy and everything, I think he'll run big out there.
Well, Brendan, real quick before I let you go ahead and complete this sentence for me. To break through and win a Breeders' Cup race would be what?
Oh, it would be just an absolute dream come true. I mean, to win over there would just be fantastic. It'd be indescribable.
All right, well, Brendan, I hope that you get to experience that feeling here in just a couple of weeks. We'll look forward to seeing you out there. As always, thanks for taking the time for the visit here this morning. I know you're busy. All the best moving forward. Go get it done, my friend.
Thanks very much, guys. Have a good day.
All right, that's Brendan Walsh. And like all of our guests who appear on the program, we're going to send him a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race, the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. You can wear what you love and embrace your passion at EmbraceTheRace.com. Two live chances there for Brendan Walsh.
Baron, two-year-olds on the dirt especially are not supposed to do what Maxfield has done, both in his maiden race and more importantly in that Breeders' Futurity. To launch that bid and to make that sustained run, he must have some engine under that hood, boy, because he started that bid at the half. I turned to Steve on the coverage. I said, who's that? And he said, that's the six. And I looked down, I saw Maxfield. I was like, that's your winner. And he just kept on. He motored by those horses, and he ran through the wire. It was as impressive a two-year-old performance as you're going to see this year. And you worry a little bit about the fact that he comes out the back. So does Vitology. And out at Santa Anita, traditionally that would hurt. But that track looks a little deeper this year, this fall, going into the Breeders' Cup. So maybe it'll help his running style. But I'll tell you what, win or lose, he's got a heck of a two-year-old on his hands going forward into his three-year-old year.
Yeah, he might be able to make that dream come true twice at this year's Breeders' Cup. Would be special for trainer Brendan Walsh. Going to get to another break. When we come back, it's your Industry Star of the Week, presented by Stuart Morris, and we'll get you set for the second half of the program as well, right here on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your home for the Breeders' Cup.
Graded Stakes action from Woodbine continues this Saturday with the Grade 3 Ontario Fashion Stakes. And on Sunday, October 20th, catch the final turf stakes of the year, the Carotene Stakes and the Bunty Lawless Stakes. Join us for live racing every Wednesday night at 6:45 p.m., Friday at 3:40 p.m., and Saturday and Sunday at 1:05 p.m. Eastern. For more racing and horse player information, visit woodbine.com.
Hi, Tony.
Hey, Matthew.
There's a reason why Tony's Steaks and Seafood is my favorite restaurant. It's because I want to feel part of the family. Isn't that right, Tony?
That's right. There's a saying on the wall that I truly believe in. There's always room for one more at our table. We just want you to be part of our family.
And believe me, you will be. It's Tony's Steaks and Seafood right across from Triangle Park. Visit them at TonysSteaksAndSeafood.com.
Power.
Anchor Down has built a five-length lead with just a 16th to the finish. Anchor Down wins the Westchester.
Passion.
Anchor Down is still there coming to the 16th pull. Tamar Coes can't get by him. And Anchor Down wires the field in the Kelso.
Performance.
Gainsway Stallion, Anchor Down.
a son of three-time champion sire Tappet and a top miler, who won the Grade 2 Kelso with a final time of 1:32 and 4 fifths, posting a 1:08 buyer speed figure. A half to Grade 1 winner Sweet Lulu, Anchor Down strongly resembles his sire, and buyers agree, with First Crop Yearling selling for up to $250,000 at Keeneland this November. Look for 9 yearlings by Anchor Down selling at Fasig Tipton October. Brilliantly fast, Anchor Down, standing at Gainesway.
Power. Passion, performance. You know I'm talking about Gainesway Farm.
It's time now to shine the spotlight on the Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week.
Wow! Spun to run by better than six on the wire.
It is Luke Cullen. Luke Cullen in the Knickerbocker.
Spun to run. The three-year-old son of Darley Stallion Hard Spun did it again, scoring impressively with a 1:10 buyer speed figure. That's right, 1:10. The highest buyer this year for a three-year-old in a mile or more. On Monday, Hard Spun's five-year-old son Luke Cullen won the Grade 2 Knickerbocker Stakes at Belmont, earning a 1:01 buyer, making Spun to Run and Luke Cullen your Darley Taking the Reins Performers of the Week. Darley Stallion Hard Spun is Dan Zig's last Grade 1 winning son, who sired more First Crop Stakes winners than any other stallion before him. Hard Spun is the only stallion with 2 3-year-olds to run a triple-digit buyer this year. You can learn more about Hard Spun and all the Darley Stallions by visiting DarleyAmerica.com.
This is Al Stahl, and you're listening to Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by Woodbine Entertainment and Red Brand Fence.
Top of the stretch, Gifted Heart shows the way for home. Gifted Heart opens up 2 lengths now on Sight of Heaven as they approach the final furlong. Gifted Heart, now Mischievous Alex has a chance to rally once again on the outside. Mischievous Alex running a big one, chasing home. Gifted Heart, Mischievous Alex reaching on the outside. Gifted Heart, Mischievous Alex, it's Gifted Heart, and she'll win it from Mischievous Alex and Sight of Heaven, then Boat Over the Hill and Guilty.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum here on HRRN. Mike Penna, Anthony Stabile taking you through this two-hour program this morning. We'll head over to Laurel later this afternoon, 3:30 to 5:30 Eastern, for coverage of the Maryland Million Day Races. You can listen in on SiriusXM 156 and stream us worldwide at horseracingradio.net. Gifted Heart will be part of that program. That was an allowance win at Laurel on July 27th, and our good friend Dave Rodman had the call. Gifted Heart, a very special story. You're going to hear from her trainer, Phil Schoenthal, coming up in the next segment. That's 9 o'clock Eastern, shortly after that point. But first, our Industry Star of the Week, presented by Stuart Morris. And who better than Sonia Alexic, who is the trainer here at Maryland. She's been doing that for a long time now. She's very, very good. And Sonia took the time to visit with me for a full hour on our Trainer Talk show presented by Fasig Tipton this past Wednesday night. You can go back to our website to hear the full interview. But her story is so unique, I thought it was important to make her this week's Industry Star of the Week.
What was it like coming to the United States together? And not, I assume you didn't know very many people. So coming here, trying to get started, what was that experience like?
Good and not good. First, my English was not really good. I was learning English in school, but like learning something in school and coming actually to a country and you have to speak language and understand what they're saying and understand the jokes and stuff. So Milan left me in the car with Eddie Herfeld, which is like an old trainer here at Laurel. And he was talking about coughing this and coughing this. And I'm like, what does coffee have to do with anything? But he was saying like, when you get sick and you cough. And I'm like, oh, my God. It was like freaking me out that I couldn't understand. So it was pretty scary. But like when the time went on, I went to college, which made me like learn language way better. I had to. And then working in a horse world, and people were so nice here, like teaching me language and teaching me more about horses. So it was good experience at the end.
Where did you go to school?
I went to Towson University for a bachelor's in biology, functional biology in animals, which
oh, wow.
I went to first year I finished in Serbia, so I transfer 1 year, so I finished 3 years in Towson. about language. My first class was in chemistry, was organic chem, and they were talking about bonding this and this bonds to this, and I didn't know what word bond means at the time. So, and I got scholarship because I had such a good grade in Serbia, and I'm like, oh my God, I thought that I have to pass this, and I have to have good grades to keep my scholarship, but I don't even know what the word bond means. How am I going to do this? The first thing, I go home, and I didn't have cell phones then. It was different. And that's a long time ago, but still. First thing I did, went home, looked at the word bond in my dictionary.
Yeah, well, you know, I remember.
And off he went from there.
I remember the story that John Velasquez told me when he first came here and didn't speak English, and he learned English from watching The Little Mermaid. So, yeah, so how about you? So how did you learn English?
Me?
Yeah.
Well, in school in Serbia a little bit, but then here, I don't know, just like I was asking people around me to help around horses and horse words, and then in school, just like through the book and dictionary and repeating words, and I guess on TV a little bit, but just trying to learn every time I could, like all day long, so...
Yeah, what an
experience. I just like ask people around me to correct me a lot. I'm like, I'm not going to get mad. Just you're helping me this way, please. So, and everybody was so nice.
Yeah, amazing experience. I'm talking with Sonia Alexic, who is the farm trainer at Maryland Farm, a division of Country Life Farm in Maryland. And we'll get to that part of her story here coming up in a minute. But as you just heard, her husband, Milan Milosevic, was a trainer and he rode horses too. He now works with her at Maryland. They made the trip 7,600 miles from Serbia to Maryland to start a new life, and it's been extremely successful. They have two little girls, 8 and 4, and I'll ask you about those in a minute, Sonia, but how about Milan? When he first came here with you, did he just jump right in and find his rhythm, or did he have some struggles there a little bit too getting started?
He knew how to gallop really good, so he started riding right away and was grooming a little bit. And then because I was trying to learn to ride better, we were like just looking for jobs, so we would break babies on the farms, and which that will make you learn how to really ride horses. So, and the more we rode, like, up to like 30 horses a day, just like the more we rode together, the more like the better we got, kind of thing. So I think finding jobs, because he knew how to gallop already and he was pretty good, it was easy. And then I kind of went with that, and we galloped together, so on the farm, so I can learn with him kind of how to gallop. And I don't know, he was really involved before he came here, like on internet and stuff. So he knew about a lot of horses and how kind of things work here. So I think he was okay. Like, he didn't have that rough time getting used to everything. And he loved it. That's like what he lives for. So
it was
his dream coming true, kind of. So he loved every second of it.
Sonia Alexic, the farm trainer here at Maryland. And again, you can go back and hear the entire interview, 1 hour on our trainer talk show, all at horseracingradio.net. Head back and check that out at your leisure. Going to get you set for hour number two. It begins with trainer Phil Schoenthal talking about Gifted Heart, a heartfelt story indeed. You're going to hear that story and much more in the second half of the show, right after we pause 10 seconds for station identification. This is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
They're into the final furlong. Code of Honor, Mucho Gusto, and Tacitus. Code of Honor has taken the lead, and Code of Honor and John Velasquez have won the run, Happy Travers.
McKenzie is all out, but today belongs to Mongolian Groom. It's Mongolian Groom, wire to wire in the offset again under Abel Sadil. McKenzie settles for second.
From our Jimmy Johns of Lexington studios, welcome to the Equine Forum,
presented by Woodbine Entertainment and Red Brand Fence.
Stride to stride, a furlong to run. One bad boy, never looked better and has got the Queen's Plate well and truly won.
And Firenze Fire has taken the lead. Imperial Hint will try to battle back on the inside. Can he do it? Firenze Fire, Imperial Hint's coming back. These two coming down to the line. Very close. Did Imperial Hint come back? Oh, he's got so much heart.
Now here's Mike Pena.
Welcome back. Hour number two of the Equine Forum, presented by Woodbine Entertainment and Red Brand Fence on this Saturday morning. Mike Pena, Baron of the Backstretch, along with the Big A, Anthony Stabile, coming to you from Maryland Farm right here in the heart of Maryland. And this is the training division of Country Life Farm. Told you in the first half of the program that we're back this afternoon at 3:30 Eastern Time. 2 hours of Maryland Million coverage presented by Country Life and Red Brand Fence. Is going to be an amazing afternoon live from Laurel Park. Make sure you're tuned in to that coverage as well. Our poll question of the day, you can listen at or weigh in at HRRN on Twitter and Horse Racing Radio Network on Facebook. Who is your favorite Maryland bred horse of all time? And so many different answers coming in. For me, it was Concern. For the Big A, no doubt, it was all about the Great Cigar.
Yes, the one and only Cigar. I got to hold the halter a little while ago. It was last year. It was in the foaling stall. You can feel the greatness of Cigar here in the great state of Maryland, my friend. No one, it's amazing. We were talking about this yesterday on Red Brand Radio. Thinking of the five top Breeders' Cup moments of all time as we get ready for the 36th World Championships. I got to think Cigar's Breeders' Cup Classic is one of the top five most memorable moments. And Yada's Classic win, of course, which we're celebrating the 10-year anniversary of that this year out of the Great Race Place. Personal ensign, of course. And then it got a little dicey. Steve Grabowski and I duked it out a little bit verbally on the air. I wanted to nominate Blame.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was one. And then I reluctantly, Baron, acquiesced to Steve bringing up Easy Goer and Sunday Silence. Trying to settle
the
score.
A tough one for you.
It is. And I do not look forward to being on Twitter this week because they will all start to, all the knuckleheads will start tweeting out the Sunday Silence Easy Goer Breeders' Cup Classic duel from Gulfstream Park back in 1989. So I'm not looking forward to being on Twitter. It's like kind of like Preakness time when they show that 89 Preakness, the 30-year anniversary this year of Sunday Silence and Easy Goer.
It's hard to believe that Shug McGahee has not won a Breeders' Cup Classic yet. He's trying to do it with three-year-old.
He's got 9 or 10 Breeders' Cup wins, too.
Yeah.
He's never done it. 30 years. It would be appropriate this year, I think, of Code of Honor. And Code of Honor winning that race would make things very, very interesting when it comes to the year-end awards as well. Because I think he'd have 3 wins at the American Classic distance of a mile and a quarter. The Travers, the Jockey Club Gold Cup, and the Breeders' Cup Classic are 3 of the most important races, not only in our country on dirt, but in the entire world. I think that gives that he lays some claim to that Horse of the Year title if he wins that classic. And amazingly, just 2 weeks away from the Breeders' Cup.
Yeah, again, so go to our Twitter feed at HRN, weigh in on the Maryland question: who is your favorite Maryland bred horse of all time? You can go a lot of different directions here. So many great horses bred here in the state of Maryland. Another one that's pretty special is Gifted Heart, and not just because of the fact that she's ultra-talented. She's won 2 of 3. She's going to go postward in this afternoon's Maryland Million Lassie, but the backstory behind the name Gifted Heart for trainer Phil Schoenthal, pretty special as well. And Phil is with us now here on HRRN. Phil, good morning.
Good morning, fellas.
Yeah, happy to have you on board. What a day it's going to be, a special day at Laurel, and could be a really, really special day for you if Gifted Heart can get the victory.
Yeah, no, it's a Maryland Million Day is a great day for Maryland racing. You know, everybody looks forward to it all year long, maybe more so than Preakness even for us local guys, obviously. It's a fun day. We got a lot of runners today and been very busy all the preparations for that, which has been good because it's kept my mind off of other things like Gifted Heart and all the things that go along with that. So
Yeah, we've been telling our listeners throughout the first half of the program, Phil, that there is a backstory behind the name Gifted Heart here, and it's a special backstory. And if you wouldn't mind, I know you and your wife, Sarah, have really overcome an awful lot. If you wouldn't mind telling that story, we'd love to hear it.
Yeah, no problem. Back last June, my son was diagnosed with restrictive cardiomyopathy, which is a kind of a genetic gene mutation that just happened to him. One in 3 or 4 million, you know, hitting the lottery, but was diagnosed with that in June. We were put on the waiting list for a heart transplant shortly thereafter. That there is no cure for it. There's nothing they can do for it. Just needs a heart transplant. We waited on the list throughout the summer and fall. November, actually the day after Thanksgiving, got to the point where he couldn't be at home anymore. We were admitted into Johns Hopkins and were inpatient, being supported by constant therapies to keep him going, keep his heart strong. And we waited then until January 18th. We got the phone call that a suitable donor had been found, and we got the transplant that day. And it was a month later, February 18th, we were back home. So it was quite the fall and winter. You know, it was obviously a tough time for us, but we're on the other side now and doing well.
Yeah, just an amazing story. I know there are a ton of other similarities and coincidences to the story. Both children named Emerson to get your Emerson, the heart. And now we have this great story on the racetrack. Right, we were talking about this earlier with Mike Pons from Country Life. We're all fans, and we all have stories getting here. And this is one of the more touching stories we've seen in racing in a long time.
Yeah, no, it was... you know, my owners were great last year, obviously dealing with my son living in the hospital, and conversely then, of course, my wife was living in the hospital with him, and we had two other kids, and trying to keep them, you know, as normal as possible, and had a lot of family help, and, you know, obviously I was a little bit preoccupied with all of that, and, you know, obviously coming to the barn every morning and keeping things going in the barn. But my owners were wonderfully supportive and understanding of my time constraints and focus constraints. And you know, a lot of my owners really rallied and, you know, named a lot of yearlings last year in honor of Emerson. We've got not only Gifted Heart, but Strong and Brave is what the name Emerson actually means. He's a 2-year-old in the barn who's run once. We've got a horse called Heart Hero, which was, the term that we use basically for our donor, because donors are anonymous. I mean, that there is no information given. And so all we knew was that there was this nameless, faithless hero out there that had, you know, given us the gift of life, and they were our heart hero. So we named the horse Heart Hero. You know, and so there's been several of them, you know, it's been great. It's really been great. And, you know, see the community in Maryland and nationally, you know, people rally around and try to help you, you know, but it's amazing how horses can really pick you up in your time of need. You know, in last June we had gotten that diagnosis and it had kind of come out of left field and of course out of the blue kind of, you know, knocked us back a step. And it was, maybe, you know, 2 or 3 weeks later, I had a horse jump up and win a stakes race, you know, at a huge price out of the blue, and really kind of pick our heads up a little bit. And then in December, really when things were looking very dire for Emerson, and you know, he kind of needed a heart transplant real soon or it was going to get really ugly for us, this filly, Elevated Vision, who runs today as well, jumped up and ran the won the Politely at 38-1, and that was really emotional for us. So, you know, it's funny how when you're in this business, you know, there's a lot of ups and downs and highs and lows, but these horses can really pick your head up, you know, and kind of give you that shot in the arm every now and then, and we certainly experienced that over this past year. It's been pretty emotional with Gifted Heart, when she broke her maiden impressively. You know, I just had a lump in my throat the whole way, and I got a little lump in my throat now thinking about it. But you know, if she gets a job done today, it'll be pretty emotional for us.
Yeah,
not
no
only
doubt.
That, but
talking
just trying to raise awareness for organ donation. So.
Yeah, talking with trainer Phil Schoenthal here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Emotional backstory to the name Gifted Heart, who does go postward in race 7 today, the Maryland Million Lassie. She will have, no doubt, thousands of people cheering for her now, Phil, after hearing this story here on the program this morning. You know, when something like this happens, Phil, it kind of puts everything in perspective. And not to belittle what it means to win a horse race, but you kind of take a step back and say, hey, you know what? That's a horse race, and there's other things that mean so much more in this world, in this life, than winning a horse race. What do you say to other parents who are in this position now that have children that are hanging on and battling through these things and waiting for a transplant? What do you say to them?
Well, I mean, not just parents of kids in the same situation, but really anybody who's going through adversity. You know, with health issues or family issues or financial issues or whatever it is. But really the best advice that we got along the way really rang true in that, you know, all you can do is control the things that you can control, and you need to wake up every morning and just focus on winning today. Don't worry about tomorrow. Don't worry about next week. Don't worry about next month. Just wake up this morning and do what you have to do to make today a win. And if you can do that every day, you're going to keep your head up and keep a smile on your face and stay positive, you know, and not really worry about the things that are coming down the road or might be around the corner. You know, you kind of refuse to live in fear and be crippled by fear. You know, you have faith and various things and support. But if you can just wake up every morning and just do what you have to do to make today a successful day, whether that means just being able to get out of bed and brush your teeth and face the sunshine, if that's a win for you today, then that's a win for you today. And you need to stack successes and claim those wins. You know, if winning today means running 15 miles, then great. But if it means just being able to get out of bed, get into your wheelchair and go downstairs and have breakfast with your kids, then that's a win today too, you know? And so it's just trying to overcome whatever little things you can control today and win today.
Well, Phil, it's an amazing story, and you and your wife, Sarah, just amazing people. And, you know, all the best with Gifted Heart coming up later this afternoon, and God bless Emerson too.
Yeah, appreciate it. You know, for any of your listeners out there that are handicappers, let me just throw a little tidbit out there about Gifted Heart for you guys. You know, you can get back to the more serious matters of horse racing. but that last race at Charlestown, you know, I don't know if you guys watched the replay, but kind of coming around the turn with an eighth of a mile to go, it looked like she was loaded and was going to win the race. You know, I thought felt like she was going to put away the horse on the inside, and there was nobody really coming from the back. And then she just kind of hung and stopped a little bit, and I was really disappointed. And looked up at the board as they crossed the wire, and the last eighth was like in 14 seconds, and I was like, man, I still couldn't get a jump past six furlongs. And came back to be unsaddled, and Boca Chica got off of her and said, Philly says, I was loaded around the turn and was going to win by as far as I wanted to win by. And she looked up and saw the lights of the grandstand turning for home and just dropped the bridle and stopped running. And he said the only thing that kept her going was that horse on her inside. She just latched onto that horse and galloped along that horse on her inside. He said, but I, you know, just the first time under the lights and first time at night, she just dropped the bridle when she saw the grandstand. So I really felt better about the race after that. You know, I mean, you know, obviously she got beat and the winner was well-deserving, but I feel like she was a much better horse than she showed last time at Charlestown. And I'm hoping that back today on her home track in the daytime on a fast track, she'll get back to her better numbers. So.
Yeah, that's a great point, Phil. Hey, I meant to ask you, too, real quick before I let you go. Will little Emerson be at the races today?
You know what? We were really hoping to get him here, but he actually just got out of the hospital recently. He had a little setback with a cold and a virus, but he is with his mother today, and my older son is up in New Jersey playing at a hockey tournament. So they're all up there together, and I've got my daughter with me who rides in a pony race today. But he will not be here, unfortunately. I wish he was, but next time he'll be here.
Yeah, he's there in spirit, no doubt. Phil, again, appreciate the story. Appreciate the time here this morning. We'll look forward to seeing you at Laurel this afternoon. And all the best with Gifted Heart in that Maryland Million Lassie later today.
Appreciate it, you guys. Have a good day handicapping.
All right, Phil Schoenthal here on HRRN. Like all of our guests, we're going to send him a gift from our friends at Embrace the Race, the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. Wear what you love by visiting EmbraceTheRace.com. What an awesome story, huh?
I didn't want to take it to the racetrack, but that's exactly what that was the question I was going to ask him. So we covered Dickie Moore on our Race for the Ribbon Night coverage. It was that in the Charlestown Oaks, and it looked like she just lost interest for a minute. It's funny he says that. I thought it may have been the muddy track, but it's funny he says that she looked like she just goofed off a little bit. And looking up at people don't get that too, Baron, that the night racing, especially with, she's a two-year-old.
Yep.
You know, something different. So, ooh, look at these pretty lights. And she just looked like she spit the bit when she didn't. She's going to be awfully tough today. And it's just, Ed, the one thing I wanted to say to Phil, more often than not, we see people name, there's a reason behind a name. They're not all good ones. They happen to have a really good horse named after Emerson and the donor. This horse, she's Hickory. She's good.
Yep. Yep. No, it's great stuff. And if, again, you talk about an emotional winner circle.
Oh.
If Gifted Heart gets the victory today, it's so, so cool. And I loved his quote. There was this nameless, faceless hero out there, and I wanted to be able to put a name to him or her. Awesome. I mean, that's what life's all about, right?
Yeah.
Just spectacular.
Unbelievable.
All right, we're going to get to a break. When we come back, we'll talk about some more great things happening here in Maryland. We'll do it with Bobby Lillis, who is the Benevolence Director of the Maryland Thoroughbred Horsemen's Association. This is the Equine Forum on HRRN, all presented by Woodbine Entertainment and Red Brand Fence, manufacturing the V-Mesh and non-climb fence you see on horse farms worldwide.
Hello, I'm Michael Blowen, founder of Old Friends Thoroughbred Retirement Farm. One of our highest priorities for these living legends is safety. That's why the fence we trust most at Old Friends is the V-Mesh Keepsake from Red Brand. Keepsake features a V-Mesh weave to prevent hooves from getting caught, and the mesh design flexes on impact. Learn more about the quality, safety, and long-lasting value of Keepsake V-Mesh Horse Fence by visiting redbrand.com.
Visionary design, visceral performance, and imaginary technology. That's Lexus. When every detail, every moment, and every emotion is crafted by Lexus, it leads to amazing. Experience artistry that inspires, design that compels, and engineering that excites. This is Mike Pena, and I can tell you personally, as a Lexus owner, the enjoyment you'll experience from driving any of the Lexus model lines is unparalleled. Visit the Lexus store of Lexington today and see what I've been talking about for nearly 15 years. The people truly make the difference. Lexus has also been a longtime supporter of the horse industry, with a Keeneland shop located at the Lexus store of Lexington and through their sponsorship of Keeneland's Lexus Raven Run Stakes each fall. And remember, when you go to the Lexus store, ask for the Godfather, Tony Attiano. Talk horses and experience amazing in your brand new Lexus.
Warfront, a leading sire on all surfaces and all fronts. His recent Grade 1 winners include Omaha Beach, Homesman, Fog of War, Lancaster Bomber, and European champion U.S. Navy Flag. Plus, Preakness Stakes winner War of Will. And these recent group and graded winners. Sire of the highest price yearling sold in North America in 2018, this son of Danzig continues to dominate both on the track and in the sales ring. Warfront, standing at Claiborne Park.
Bill Reitler Bloodstock, the source for top quality thoroughbred horses in the Mid-Atlantic region and a perennial leading consigner at the Maryland Sales. Come visit his impressive 47-head consignment at the Fasig Tipton Mid-Atlantic December Mix Sale, December 10th at the Maryland State Fairgrounds. The consignment includes the talented filly Brucia Laterra as a racing and broodmare prospect. Brucia Laterra finished second behind champion Jaywalk in the Grade 1 Frisette ahead of Kofefi. Be sure to stop by the Bill Reitler Bloodstock consignment at the Fasig Tipton in Mid-Atlantic December Mix Sale.
Woodford Feed, where tradition merges with technology.
Family-owned since 1940 and providing exceptional customer service, Woodford Feed specializes in the highest quality feed, using only the finest ingredients to ensure optimal nutrition for your horses. In addition, Woodford Feed can help with all your farm needs, including field seed, fertilizer, and weed control. So whether your horse is sprinting around the racetrack or has a foal by her side, count on Woodford Feed to provide the quality nutrition necessary to perform at the highest level. Woodford Feed, Versailles, Kentucky.
In the recent Blood Horse Market Watch study of leading consigners with more than 100 yearlings offered from 2014 to 2016, Millridge Sales ranked highest among percentage of stakes horses and winners of $100,000 or more. Since 2000, Millridge has raised or sold 34 Grade 1 winners, including 8 Breeders' Cup winners. Their consignment at this year's Keeneland September sale includes yearlings from deep families by leading stallions such as Candy Ride, Curlin, Empire Maker, Ghost Sapper, More Than Ready, Quality Road, and Uncle Mo. Millridge, raising and selling racehorses.
Hi, I'm Richard Migliori, and I love listening to Horse Racing Radio Network. Good night, Barbados.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by Woodbine Entertainment and Red Brand Fence.
Toy Moon is in behind the leaders, and Senda at the back of the pack at the top of the stretch. Teletype and Brucha La Terra, these two turn for home together, and Toy Moon is coming up to them on the outside. Brucha La Terra in front. Toy Moon second. Teletype has given way on the inside. Final furlong, it is Brucha La Terra on top and in the clear. Toy Moon is second, Multi-Strategy third behind Brucha La Terra, who won it by 4 lengths. Toy Moon was second, Multi-Strategy was third, and Teletype was fourth.
Larry Colmus with the call. Brucha La Terra getting the victory in that maiden race last August at Saratoga. It was impressive. Brucha La Terra bred by Sally Ellen Hurst and Hugh Hurst. And Sally Ellen, we told you in the first half of the program, working now at Country Life. She does an unbelievable job. She has set Anthony and I up so well again this year at Maryland Farm. And Brucha La Terra, a horse that is being offered in the Bill Reitler consignment coming up at the Fasig Tipton December mixed sale. She'll be offered as a racing and broodmare prospect. You remember she finished second behind champion Jaywalk in the Grade 1 Frisette ahead of Kofefi. Bill Reitler Bloodstock, remember, is the source for high-quality thoroughbred horses in the Mid-Atlantic region. A perennial leading sales consigner at the Fasig Tipton Maryland sales, he'll be offering 47 head in that Mid-Atlantic December mixed sale on December 10th at the Maryland State Fairgrounds. And he'll be offering, in addition to Brucha La Terra, he'll be offering weanlings by and broodmares in foal, too. Country Life Farm Stallions, Divining Rod, Frisian Fire, Mosler, and Freedom Child. So make sure you stop by the Bill Reitler Bloodstock consignment at the Fasig Tipton Mid-Atlantic December mixed sale.
The boss tweeted that we shouldn't eat all of the coffee cake.
Too late. How about the chocolate cake that came out next?
Yeah, I don't know.
And Sally Ellen made all of that for us, by the way. It's all homemade.
By the way, just in case you're keeping score at home, chocolate cake, 116 buyer, coffee cake, 128 buyer. The coffee cake is Go Zapper territory. I'm sorry.
It's funny because we are set up at a counter here, much like you would see at a diner across America.
I do some of my best work at diner counters, by the way.
I asked you. I said, are you going to be okay sitting at the counter? And you said, are you kidding me, Baron?
I'm a counter Hall of Famer. Did you know what's good about these? They're fat guy friendly. There's no back. There's a lot of room in front. You got leg room. I could do some serious. We're talking a good 6-egg omelet, half pound of bacon, extra rye toast. No, I mean, just 22, 44, 107, and 1. No,
next?
I'm good.
Is that
I'm
next?
Good.
I
no,
see a stove over
no,
there.
No, I'm good. This is stuff. I'm in, this is my, this is where I do my, this is like the lab for me.
Well, the lab for our next guest, Bobby Lillis, is the racetrack, and this is the only sport, the only job, the only life that he's ever known, and he's dedicated himself to it, and now he helps all of the backstretch workers here in the state of Maryland. He is the benevolence director of the Maryland Thoroughbred Horsemen's Association. I had the chance to meet Bobby last week in Lexington, Kentucky, when he was there to accept the Godolphin Thoroughbred Industry Employee Community Award. And you say, okay, what's that? Well, it goes to an individual who has made outstanding contributions to the industry and contributed to the greater good of the sport. And no doubt, Bobby Lillis, very deserving of that honor. And he is our guest now here on HRRN. Bobby, good morning.
Hi, how are you?
Things are good. Yeah. How about you, my friend?
I'm good. It was a beautiful I'm here. Can day you hear in me? Maryland. Yep. Are you there?
Yeah, well, it's spectacular. And, yeah, you got me now?
I do. I have you. Yep.
All right, cool. Well, Bobby, it's a beautiful day here in Maryland. You're right. The Maryland Million coming up later this afternoon. Our coverage beginning 3:30 Eastern from Laurel. But listen, let's talk about the success and the work that you are doing here in the state. I mentioned that Godolphin Industry Award. Talk about, first of all, what your role is here in the state.
I'm the benefits coordinator of the Maryland Horsemen's Assistance Foundation and the Maryland Thoroughbred Horsemen's Association. We provide medical benefits to the lower-income backstretch employees. If somebody's up all night with a toothache, we'll get them over to the dentist and get them out of their pain and misery. We have a prescription plan and whatnot for these fellows.
Bobby, why was this such a passion for you to get involved with and to try to make a difference?
Well, first off, I came on the track in 1969 as a hot walker, and because of my small frame and hopes to being a jockey. But I quickly, it's a hard way of life, and it's not, a hot walker really doesn't make a lot, but they do have a passion for horses. Horses are a compatible animal, and we just love them. I mean, but job opportunities on the racetrack, you start out as a hot walker, a groom, exercise rider, trainer. There's just countless opportunities, and you can come on the racetrack with absolutely nothing and have a career. But some people get kind of stuck in either being a hot walker or a groom only because they're happy at that level, but they don't make a lot, so they're just borderline above the poverty level, so they don't have enough money to buy insurance and whatnot, or make ends meet. So we have these foundations, the Horsemen's Assistance Foundation and the MTHA, that helps provide these very essential needs to the backstretch employees.
When you first come on the track, Bobby, and you, like you said, you know, start out kind of, and most people do start out on the bottom rung of the ladder. Is one of your first thoughts after being here for a few weeks, how can I make it better? And then you're one of the lucky ones that actually was able to go on and help make things better for all these guys and gals that do a lot of the heavy lifting in our great sport.
Yeah, there is the potential to, you know, how can I make it better? Well, you learn and you have the ambition. You learn to, you're a hot walker. You learn to be a groom. If you need to make more money, you feel that way. Some people are just happy being a hot walker, and they live, you know, they also on the racetrack, they provide free housing. It's not the best housing, but for somebody that's making very little income and can't pay rent outside, they can live on the racetrack until they do get on their feet and do have the wherewithal to pay rent outside. But how did I get involved? I mean, when I got this job 20 years ago, one of my concerns was, you know, living quarters and living conditions and bathroom conditions and whatnot, and I was approaching one of the MTHA board members and said, you know, how can we make life better for these people? And she was listening to me, and she says, well, why don't you come to one of our meetings and bring that up? And when I started to go to the meetings, I quickly discovered that the MTHA had bigger problems just trying to keep racing alive, trying to keep us all employed. There were casinos all around us and, you know, coming into Maryland, and the thought was they were going to take our jobs because everybody was going to go to the casinos instead of the racetrack. So we were able to work out a deal where we would get some sort of market share or revenue Initially, they were supposed to go at the racetrack, but that didn't happen. So they ended up just 10 miles away from us. But I'm happy to say, fast forward to now, we are doing quite well. The Maryland Million today is a prime example of, you know, we're showcasing our Maryland market, our Maryland horses. Going to have a great day.
Yeah, it's going to be a spectacular day. Visiting with Bobby Lillis, who is the Benevolence Director of the Maryland Thoroughbred Horsemen's Association, nicknamed the Mayor of the Backstretch for all the good that he does for backstretch workers. Bobby, when you walk around and you talk to some of those workers on the back set, on the backstretch, and you talk to them about what they need or what their challenges are that they're facing, what are some of the needs and challenges that are most pressing at the moment here in Maryland?
Just trying to advance, and I quickly tell them that they can, you know. And like I said, there are countless opportunities on the racetrack. You can go from a hot walker, groom, exercise rider, jockey. I'm getting ready to go into a bad sell. You know, me, I went on to be a jockey. I wasn't blessed with an outfit behind me, but I was able to carve out a career at it. Some people have gone to be trainers, horse owners. And by the way, I want to thank every horse owner out there that's ever had a horse before or has one now. Because of them, there are hundreds of thousands of people employed who love horses and have jobs and careers today because a person has a wherewithal to buy a horse and race it. Because there's 10 horses running around a circle, that entire industry flourishes.
Yeah, without the owners, there is no game. And Bobby Lillis stating that very eloquently here this morning on the Equine Forum. Bobby, I know you're getting to an area that might not be good with that cell phone reception, so we'll let you go. But really appreciate the visit here this morning and appreciate all the work you're doing to help everybody on the backstretch. Keep it up, my friend.
Yep, thank you so much. Yep, thanks.
All right, we'll see you at the races. Bobby Lillis, like all of our guests who come on the program, is going to get a gift courtesy of our friends at Embrace the Race, the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. Wear what you love and embrace your passion at EmbraceTheRace.com. You know, that award, I mentioned that Godolphin Thoroughbred Industry Employee Community Award that Bobby won for outstanding contributions to the industry and contributing to the greater good of the sport. There really couldn't be a better candidate. I'm sure there were several well-qualified candidates, but when you think about working and helping the folks who are out there every single morning, 365 days a year on the backstretch, busting their tail, you talk about the backbone of an industry. Without them, we don't have a sport.
When people come to me, Mike, and it happens more often than you would think, and talk to me about getting involved in racing, you have to explain to them that horses eat on Christmas, horses eat on Easter,
yep.
Horses eat, they need to be taken care of. It is a 300. I remember getting in the car with my dad 5 o'clock on Christmas mornings and running over to the Meadowlands and feeding and giving everybody 2 or 3 turns in the barn and getting back before my mom and my sister woke up. That's what you do. They have to be taken care of. And the workers and the grooms, they are the unsung heroes. The hot walkers, the grooms, they're the unsung heroes, the exercise riders, and things that people like Bobby do often go unnoticed by the public because they're just not close to it. But, you know, people like Bobby and the great work they put in for the people that make our sport run as well as it does, I'm glad. You know, those Godolphin Awards acknowledge. My dad lived in a dorm when he was a kid. My dad left high school.
Oh, so many,
yeah.
So many people.
Mike Sedlak. My dad went to high school with Mike Sedlak.
Yeah.
Signed himself out of school, went and lived in the dorm, lived in the dorm for a year or so. You know, so most people who start out live that life, and it's good to have people like Bobby fighting for those people and getting them the essentials and getting them the things they need to enable them to do their jobs every day. I mean, without them,
and to live,
yeah,
and
to live comfortably.
No, Bobby, we have that segment, Industry Star of the Week, that was run earlier in the program every single week, presented by Stuart Morris. And Bobby certainly
one that we could have made our industry star of the week, probably co-industry stars here dead on
heat.
This show.
It was a dead heat this week.
Dead heat this week,
yeah.
No doubt about it. I'll tell you what, when we come back, let's take a look at some of the races coming up today. We'll look at the Classic, the Maryland Million Classic, and maybe the Turf. If you have another opinion you want to throw out there, Big
sure.
A, we'll do that. And then get our selections from the Lexus Raven Run down at Keeneland today as well. This is the Equine Forum on HRRN, presented by Woodbine Entertainment and Red Brand Fence, manufacturing the V-mesh and non-climb fence you see on horse farms worldwide.
Castleton Lions is proud to introduce precocious multiple graded stakes winner Protonico for the 2019 breeding season. A Son of Giants Causeway out of an AP Indy mare, Protonico rolled to a 12 3/4 length victory in his debut as a 2-year-old before taking the Grade 3 Smarty Jones and Grade 3 Discovery Handicap at 3, followed by an ultra game win in the Grade 2 Ali Sheba at Churchill Downs in his 4-year-old season. Protonico joins the Castleton Lions stallion roster that includes multiple Eclipse champion Gio Ponti and Blue Blood sprinter Justin Phillip. Gio Ponti is the sire of Eclipse champion Dre Fong, Canadian Classic winner Sir Dudley Diggs, and stakes winners Miss Technicality and America's Tale. While Justin Phillip is represented by exciting stakes-winning filly Safe to Say and stakes place runners Justaholic, Blushing Justine, and Upset Brewing. Protonico, Gio Ponti, and Justin Phillip standing at Castleton Lions.
World Class Racing is back at Santa Anita, and with the Breeders' Cup World Championships coming for a record 10th time on November 1st and 2nd, you want to be sure to be a part of it. Please visit santaanita.com to purchase tickets and make reservations for the biggest 2 days in racing. Join us this Saturday. Our main event is the $100,000 California Flag Handicap. First post time on Saturday and Sunday is at 12:30 p.m. Santa Anita, transforming tradition.
The Ponds family's Country Life Farm is proud to celebrate over 85 years in the thoroughbred business. Established in 1933, Country Life is nationally recognized for making such stallions as Malibu Moon and Grade 1 sire Frisian Fire. Our beautiful training center at Maryland Farm allows us to offer a full service operation, from the foaling barn to the racetrack, and our popular racing and breeding partnerships bring new faces to this exciting sport. Come join us. Get in the game with Country Life Farm. Visit us online at countrylifefarm.com.
Bet any track from anywhere with Keeneland Select. Keeneland Select offers something no other wagering platform does, a way to give back to the sport you love through Keeneland's reinvestment in thoroughbred racing and fan development. Become eligible for a $100 sign-up bonus and $50 for every $5,000 wagered with code HRRN10 at KeenelandSelect.com or download the app free on the App Store or Google Play.
Adena Springs is home to two of the most exciting young stallions in Kentucky, Point of Entry and Mucho Macho Man. A 5-time Grade 1 winner, Point of Entry is the number one third crop sire by A Runner Index. In 2019 alone, the heir to Dynaformer's legacy is the sire of UAE Derby winner Puska Parfait, Breeders' Cup Mile contender Admission Office, and Graded Place 2-year-old Tuggle. Breeders' Cup Classic champion Mucho Macho Man is the leading second crop sire by Black Type Wins, led by Del Mar Grade 2 winner Mucho Unusual, and the incredibly tough and consistent Mucho Gusto, who has more lifetime graded wins or placings than any 3-year-old in his crop. Point of Entry and Mucho Macho Man are the latest stallions to carry on the classic bloodlines and classic performance tradition at Adena Springs. Call Ken Wilkins or Donald Wells today about 2020 seasons and visit adenastallions.com.
My name is Abel Escanos. Listen to Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by Woodbine Entertainment and Red Brand Fence.
Into the stretch now at the 3/16, wide open affair. Saratoga Bob is the leader on the outside as Clubman do that dance. Angle between horses off the rail, looking for a bit of racing room. Pal Cal is trying to hang in tough for that final furlong. Four chances now. Saratoga Bob in front from Clubman on the outside. Do that dance, closing in the clear. It's going to be Saratoga Bob from Do That Dance. Clubman was third. Pal Cal was fourth. And Cochelli.
Gotta love Dave Rodman. So enthusiastic with his calls. Does a phenomenal job. The voice of the Preakness, the voice of racing here in Maryland. And bringing Saratoga Bob to the wire in last year's Maryland Million Classic was a race you heard here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. You'll hear it again this year beginning at 3:30 Eastern this afternoon. Sirius XM 156 is your home. And, of course, if you can't be in front of a radio, you can always stream us worldwide, Bluetooth us in your car, whatever it might be, at horseracingradio.net. Listen live there. Saratoga Bob back to defend his crown, and we're going to talk more about that race in just a second, right after I remind you that Blood Horse is your source for all of the coverage of fall racing this year, including the Breeders' Cup, like only Blood Horse can bring you. You want to follow the races, the news throughout the day, and the popular Blood Horse Daily app, or have an email sent to you once a day. Of course, you can always listen on your Alexa device. All of those are free. Simply go to bloodhorse.com/daily to learn more. You know you've made it when, right? You show up here to Maryland and last year at Country Life, and they take such great care of us. But Christy Holden, who is the farm manager here, came over a few minutes ago and brought us a couple of passes to the Country Life tent this afternoon. So Country Life, not only the title sponsor of our coverage this afternoon, along with Red Brand Fence, we're going to have a chance to meet some of their clients and get a chance to hang out with Josh and Mike Pons and Sally Allen and Christy. Going to be an amazing afternoon at Laurel Park.
Yep. Can't wait. They handed them to me.
There were two.
For the record.
There were two.
You know, I eat like two, Baron. I don't know if you've noticed. Yeah, I'll give you one.
By the way, did they double the size of the buffet before they handed
those
to us?
I don't know. The first time you and I actually hung out, though, you had pizza waiting for me at the Saratoga house, and I said, Katie, bar the door. If they have the corn chowder and the crab and corn chowder and the crab cakes they had last year, they're bringing a knife to a gunfight today at Laurel Park.
Yeah, it's going to be great. Can't wait to get down there. We'll make the pilgrimage there later today. All right, let's talk about the classic, Big A. So the Maryland Million Classic, I mentioned Saratoga Bob trying to come back and defend his crown. It really hasn't been a great year for Saratoga Bob. He's won once since winning the Maryland Million Classic a year ago. What do you think? Can he do it?
He's run seven times since, too, and he has just that one win and the optional two other than. Can he do it? Yeah, of course he can do it. He loves the course. The only time he's run at the 9-furlong distance was last year when he won this event and grabbed the $80,000 and change that comes along with it. He hasn't run since June 1st. 4.5 months. That's a long time. And can he win? Yeah. Do I think he's going to win? I don't. I think this is a tough road to hoe. Having not run in all that time, having to take on a tough distance, one that he's only navigated once in his career. That race kind of held together last time.
Yeah, pretty well.
Yeah, but it kind of held together last year. The pace was moderate, and they came home a lot quicker than they went early, and it kind of held together. And I want to see how the racetrack's playing as well. And, you know, he's got the inside draw this year. Last time he was nicely stacked outside of horses, and you don't really want to be historically, traditionally down inside at Laurel. We'll see what kind of trip Jeff Young Toledo, his rider, Edgar Prado, the Hall of Famer, piloted him to victory. Last year, Toledo's been riding him pretty much in all of his starts, actually, in 2019. So we'll see. But it's been a long time between drinks for him. He hasn't won since his first start of the year back in early February, February 3rd to be exact. And your birthday.
Yeah.
It was your birthday, so maybe you'll bring him some luck today. I don't know. If he's counting on you to bring him luck, I feel sorry for Saratoga Bob.
How about the 7-5 morning line favorite in the Maryland Million Classic is Cordmaker, who is number 12, but that's on the also eligible list. Going to need a scratch to get into the race here today. What do you think? Does he get? Well, we don't know if he's going to get in or not. I haven't seen the scratches yet, but if Cordmaker gets in, is he the horse to beat?
Yeah, he's the horse to beat. I think it's very important to realize when you guys are handicapping these races, if you're going by the morning line, this morning line is going to be a little skewed because the horses that are on the also eligible list are the three favorites. Cordmaker 7-5, both top line growth and bonus points, and they're the 12, 13, and 14 respectively, are 7-5, 5-2, and 5-2 on the morning line. So you're going to see these juicy 6 and 10s and 12s and 15-1s. Don't expect that going over to Laurel today because you're not going to get it unless one of these AEs draw in.
By the way, according to Equibase, I just checked the scratches here. There are no scratches posted for that 10th race yet. There are scratches posted for the day, but not for the 10th race yet. So this is as of 9:40 a.m., so 8 minutes ago.
Listen, when they hang $150,000 on up for grabs, you're not going to get a lot of scratches.
Well, that would mean Cord Maker would be excluded. It would also mean that bonus points would be excluded, the former Classic champion.
Yeah, 2 years ago. He's been off the board just one time in Laurel in his life. It actually came way back in January this year. Yeah, I mean, he's making his third start for trainer Mike Trumbetta, who's, you know, locally based, as opposed to Todd Pletcher, who had the horse up in New York. I'd be curious to see if one of the horses drawn off the also eligible list, they will be the favorite in this race.
Refresh my memory. Bonus points. Wasn't he on the also eligible list last year for the Maryland Million Classic and didn't get in?
Correct. Yeah, it's very tough because, like I said, unless something really goes wrong, you don't want to pass up the opportunity to run against against state breds for such a big sum of money. Like we said, Morning Bob earned 82.5 for his win in this race last year. That's, more than pays his way for the season.
Okay, so with the A's not getting in, so who is it, Clubman then, the horse to beat?
I mean, on paper, it's Clubman. I thought, like I said earlier, and last night on the Weekend Stakes preview, I went to Torch of Truth in here, and I think Jamie Ness played the claiming game with Torch of Truth in a very good way, realizing he was eligible for this race. You know, this horse was very impressive winning at Delaware, and then he came back last time, and I got to tell you, we talked about this on the Weekend Stakes preview last night. That was a terrible comment line that this said this horse hung. I mean, he kind of took a good bump out of the gate and was forced out of his comfort zone. He made up 15 lengths to make the lead in that race over the course last time out and just got a little tired late after overcoming all of that ground that he lost early on. I don't know if he hung. I thought he had two real useful efforts. He goes from two rail draws to an outside draw. He gets Trevor McCarthy back in the boot. I think there's a lot to like about this horse. Again, don't be fooled by the 6-1 morning line. He's not going to be anywhere near that. If the field holds together, he's going to be 3-1, 7-2.
I want to leave us enough time before we get to our final break to talk about the Lexus Raven run down at Keeneland. We'll do that here in a minute. But want to wish our good friend Dan Mason and our colleague here on the network, who is going to be part of our broadcast team later today at 3:30 Eastern, all the best as he gets ready to send out his horse in the Maryland Million today, too.
Wide open race for Love You Much in race number 8, the Maryland Million Turf, for the $125,000 on the line. I can make a case for 5 or 6 of them. I put Cannon's Roar, the number 8, right next door to Love You Much from post 9 on top. But like I said, 6 or 7 of them can win that turf. It's a real wide open affair.
He better not want to go to the winner's circle because that's a race we're broadcasting during the 2-hour coverage.
I think we can handle it. We got to let him take his Maryland Million winner. Come on,
man. He's on air. He's working for me. Nope. Sorry, Dan.
Wow.
I know he's listening. I'm sure he's listening right now, so I'd like to give him a hard time. Of course he's going to the winner's circle. Hey, and then we get to interview the winning owner afterwards.
That'd be pretty good.
How about that?
That's all you.
We don't have to go find him. Outstanding. All right, Lexus Raven Run, 5:30 Eastern Post at Keeneland, Grade 2. Our friends at the Lexus store of Lexington, I told you in the first half of the show, go see them. They support the horse business. They've been supporting this race for a very long time. Good field, Restless Rider coming out, 4-1 on the morning line for Ken McPeak, was scratched. As far as I know, everybody else is set to go.
Baron, I am all about Indian Pride. Been waiting for her to make her stakes debut for well over a year now. Sensational maiden win up at the Spa, where she was really just in hand from the bell, but from the 3/16 pole to the wire, it was really just an exhibit of her brilliance. She's a brilliant filly, and you know, she's taken on some seasoned 3-year-olds here. Royal Charlotte, the other Chad Brown horse in here, who's shorter on the morning line. I don't think that's holding up, but she's won at Gulfstream, Keeneland, Monmouth, Belmont, and Saratoga. She's won at every track she's run at. She only has one loss. That was in the test where it just wasn't her day. It was a funny track that day. Other than Royal Charlotte, it's really hard for me to see where her – I mean, Horologist is another one. She's making her first start for Richard Baltus. Joe Bravo won the Valley View yesterday for Baltus with Lady Prancelot, and maybe she's the other challenger in here. Ron Ellis brings in First Star, a couple of wins at Del Mar, 1 at 6.5, 1 at a flat mile, so she'll cut back to the 1 turn 7/8. But if Indian Pride shows up, I really think they're all running for second money.
All right, well, I told you, I was trying to see if Keeneland had their scratches out yet, but according to the Equibase app, I'm glad to see they're updating this regularly. It says it was last updated on February 26th.
They didn't have the scratches for the Raven Run on February 26th, I don't think.
I don't think so. But needless to say, no scratches posted yet for this race.
Yeah. Well, we know Russell Sarraty's coming out. Kenny announced that last night on Twitter, so yesterday afternoon really on Twitter.
Dan Mason, by the way, sent a text and said, we are all going to the winner's circle. So I don't know who the hell's doing the show, but we're all going to the winner's circle.
That would be pretty interesting.
I don't know if we got our wireless stuff, we could do that. That would be kind of cool.
I could hold the fort down. I've hosted a show or two. You guys can.
No, we're all going. You're part of that. You're part
of the
contingent.
That's it, yeah.
We're all going.
I don't know how far the winner's circle is, but I need to be on for the next segment, so I don't know about me getting hoofing it to the winner's circle and hoofing it back. So you guys can go take the picture. I'll take care of the prices. It'll be a happy recap when you return. I hope you – you know what? I hope I got to do 15 minutes alone today, yeah, so we can get Dr. Dan a victory.
We'll let Dan go get his – hey, let's get the horse home first.
Sure.
Right? We're putting the cart before the horse.
This is bad luck.
We're Italian. We're superstitious.
I had a good weekend last weekend up at Belmont. I went 16 for 28 on top.
Ooh.
I had a good weekend. And somebody gave me the home at the eighth pole. And let me tell you, the horse held on by about a half a head.
That's the worst.
There was some lecture given when that heat was over, man. I can tell you that.
Yeah, it's the worst. It was like me watching the Yankee game last night where I was going to start the overrated chant after the first inning. As a Yankee fan, but that would be a little premature, I think.
I'm actually glad they won last night, so I have something to keep me company tonight on the way home when they get buried by the Astros and sent home. It'll be good.
Yeah, they got their hands full, no doubt about it. Going to get to one final break. We'll come back and tell you what's ahead here on the network, including that entire Breeders' Cup week schedule. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your home for the Breeders' Cup.
Greatest Stakes action from Woodbine continues this Saturday with the Grade 3 Ontario Fashion Stakes. And on Sunday, October 20th, catch the final turf stakes of the year, the Carotene Stakes and the Bunty Lawless Stakes. Join us for live racing every Wednesday night at 6:45 p.m., Friday at 3:40 p.m., and Saturday and Sunday at 1:05 p.m. Eastern. For more racing and horse player information, visit woodbine.com.
Airdrie Stud is proud to announce the arrival of Grade 1 winning millionaire Preservationist. The exceptionally talented son of Arch boasts Foundation mares Courtly D and Menad on the top and bottom of his blue-blooded pedigree. On the racetrack, he was one of 2019's best, taking the Grade 1 Woodward at Saratoga and historic Suburban at Belmont Park.
And Preservationist has won the Suburban! By 4.5 lengths over Catholic Boy and Pebble.
Preservationist, another exciting addition to the Airdrie Stud Stallion roster. Think about it.
When it comes to buying tractors, mowers, and farm equipment, look no further than locally owned Central Equipment on Red Mile Road in Lexington. A third-generation family business, Central Equipment has been servicing the equine industry for more than 46 years, working closely with the NTRA to ensure their equine clients get the best pricing on their new John Deere purchases. At Central Equipment, you'll find top brands like Exmark, Kubota, Still, John Deere, and Woods. Stop in today and experience the family-owned atmosphere or visit centralequipment.com.
Shadwell Farm, home to world-class stallions, presents two young stars. Mohamed, undefeated two-year-old, multiple graded stakes winner at 2 and 3, a dazzling son of Tappan, winner of his first 5 career starts, 4 in graded stakes. Grade 1 winner, Tamer Coos, winner of the Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile. This son of Spitestown was a top international miler that earned over $1.8 million. Shadwell Farm, building speed for the future.
Power. Anchor Down has built a 5-length lead with just a 16th to the finish. Anchor Down wins the Westchester.
Passion.
Anchor Down is still there coming to the 16th pole. Tamar Coase can't get by him. And Anchor Down wires the field in the Kelso.
Performance.
Gainesway Stallion, Anchor Down, a son of 3-time champion sire Tappet and a top miler who won the Grade 2 Kelso with a final time of 132 and 4 fifths, posting a 108 buyer speed figure. A half to Grade 1 winner Sweet Lulu, Anchor Down strongly resembles his sire, and buyers agree, with First Crop Yearling selling for up to $250,000 at Keeneland this November. Look for 9 yearlings by Anchor Down selling at Fasig Tipton October. Brilliantly fast, Anchor Down, standing at Gainesway.
Power. Passion, performance, you know I'm talking about Gainesway Farm.
Hi, I'm Kayla Stratt, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Edging closer to the Breeders' Cup World Championships, 13 days, 3 hours, 46 minutes away from Racing's Championship Days. We'll be there all week long, beginning a week from this coming Tuesday with exclusive talk shows and our exclusive race coverage. You'll hear all the Breeders' Cup races exclusively with us here on radio on HRRN. It all kicks off coming up on Tuesday, October 29th. Bobby Newman and Megan Devine will host three Breeders' Cup countdown shows Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday morning. You'll be able to tune into those at 8 o'clock Pacific time, 11 o'clock Eastern, on our affiliates throughout the country and on Sirius XM and, of course, worldwide at horseracingradio.net. And then we come back on Friday and Saturday with that exclusive radio coverage of every Breeders' Cup race. Myself and Kurt Becker, Ashley Malou, and Bobby Newman. Going to be fun.
Special 3 o'clock Friday, November 1st, weekend stakes preview airtime. Steve Rubowski and I will cover all 14 Breeders' Cup World Championship races.
Yeah, and you can catch this weekend stakes preview presented by Naira Betts on our website, horseracingradio.net. Don't forget, you're betting the races. Do it at expressbet.com. Open a new account using promo code HRRN. Very important. HRRN and HRN Nation. Take advantage of special offers only at expressbet.com. Our thanks to all of our guests for joining us here this morning. We're back 3:30 Eastern. Our thanks especially to Sally Ellen Hurst for setting us up here at Marion.
She's the best.
Yep, they do a great job. All that coverage today presented by Country Life and Red Brand Fence. For our producer, Lee Delapina, and our Jimmy Johns in Lexington studio, for Chauncey handling social media for the Big A, I'm Mike Penna. Thanks for listening. Go Steelers.